If you turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, and as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verses 6 and 7. Genesis 4, verses 6 and 7. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Genesis 4, verses 6 and 7. Whenever you hear the gospel, it calls for a response, and you naturally respond to it. But how do you respond to the gospel? How do you respond to the preaching of God's word, especially when it may come close to your conscience, when it may rebuke you, when it may challenge you, because it cuts across what you want to think? Often, the response is one of annoyance, of irritation. The gospel is God's precious truth. And yet, there's this tendency in man to reject it. It's not what we want to hear. And often, that can be the way. One of irritation and one of anger can be the way in which we respond. Putting an example of that here in Cain. We find Cain and Abel approaching God in worship. And we read of how God, the Lord, had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Abel's is accepted because he is here and he is offering worship. He is, as the writer of the Hebrews tells us, offering his worship by faith. Whereas Cain, there's unbelief. We find Cain's response to God's refusal to accept him and his worship because of his unbelief is one of annoyance. Now, how does God respond to that? Well, is it not amazing that we don't find God immediately banishing Cain from his presence, saying, get out of here, go away, never come back. What are you doing? Being angry with me and with your brother? Depart from me. You're a worker of iniquity. I don't know you, don't want to know you. Don't ever come near me again. That's what he deserves. But see how merciful the Lord is. See how gracious he is. He comes to Cain, who is responding with that sense of irritation and anger to God's rebuke of him. And he comes in mercy to reason with him. Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. You hear the gospel. It tells you you're a sinner. Your hackles rise. You don't believe it. You don't feel you're a sinner. You don't want anyone to tell you you're a sinner.
You hear the gospel, it tells you. The gospel is a gospel of grace. And that God will be reconciled to man only on the terms of grace through Christ. That you cannot earn your salvation, that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The hackles rise. You feel a sense of irritation as you hear the truth of God. You hear the demands of God's law. And as the law of God comes with its demands, well, that's not how I want to live. That's not how I want to act. No. I will do my own thing. Oh, how gracious God is. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. That's what he says to you and to me. Let's then consider these words here. Because if your response was that of being somewhat irritated as you're under the gospel, if you feel the hackles rise, you're hearing a message that you don't want to hear and you're steeling yourself against it, hear this advice. Here is merciful reasoning from God as to how you, dear friend, should act. What was written here isn't just an interesting piece of history from many years ago. It speaks to you and me today. The three things in this merciful reasoning with God. First of all, there's a call to repentance. That's what you've got here in the words of our text, a call to repentance. The Lord said to Cain, "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" He's saying, look, stop, repent. Are your hackles rising under the gospel? Stop and repent. Stop thinking irrationally. That's how you're responding. In an irrational, foolish way. You see, here is God and he comes to Cain. And he says to him, "Why art thou wroth? Why are you angry? Why? You're looking downwards. Why is thy countenance fallen?" He's saying, is your anger justifiable? Why is it that you have to glance away? Why can't you look me straight in the face? Your countenance has fallen. Why are you feeling a certain awkwardness in my presence? The shuffling of the feet and the awkwardness that someone feels when they're not happy with things that deep down they know is true. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all felt that awkwardness when we're challenged and prompted by someone about their behaviour. We're not very happy to admit you're right. That's what you've got here. Or stop acting that way. But he's saying, look, why? Think about it. Why do the hackles rise? Think about it. You see, here is Cain. He's taken up with himself. He's taken up with what he wants to hear. And here is God speaking. And it's as if Cain knows better than God. He could instruct God. As if God is foolish. Isn't that an irrational response? You would rather hear something else. But you'll always hear God speaking of sin, the reality of your sin, but also of the reality of his grace to
hell-deserving sinners through Jesus Christ. You see, why are you angry, Cain? Why are you sifting around in that awkward way? That's not going to change the situation. It's not that I'm suddenly going to change my mind and put my arm round you and say, well, there. I'll accept it after all. That's what people do. But God's not like that. He always acts in the same way, and he reminds them of this. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. He's saying, there's the problem, Cain. Realise where the problem is. Realise you've not done well. That's why you're not accepted. Realise, Cain, it's possible to be righteous. Yes, you can be declared righteous. You can be declared accepted. I can accept your offering. If you come in faith, trusting in the Messiah, the promised salvation, your worship and your person can be accepted if it's done in the right way. But if you've failed, don't expect acceptance. You see, God says to you, why your hackles rising? Why get irritable? Why reject that message? You can know me. You can be at peace with me. But only on gospel terms. Repent. There's a call to repentance. And that's how you must deal with that response, that negative response to the gospel, by repenting of it. Stop thinking in this irrational way. Rather, acknowledge that sin is your problem. Cain, why are you angry? Oh, Cain, if you'll only look, you'll see what the problem is. You'll see the problem is you're taken up with yourself, even though you've come to worship me. The problem isn't evil. The problem's not me. It's your own attitude. And, well, as we thought of this morning, the problem was he came doing his own thing, not listening to what God had said, not keeping God's commandments. He came trusting in his own works rather than in what Christ was going to do through his death on the cross. There is no bloodshed. There is no sacrifice for sin made. How do you expect this thank offering to be accepted? Because it's the thank offering of a sinner. But he won't admit he's a sinner. And there he is. He brings of the fruit of the ground, whereas Abel brings of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat of the best. There's no devotion to God. And therefore he's rejected. What's God saying? He's saying, look, why are you angry? Test, examine your ways, return again to the Lord. The gospel comes and it says, there are things that in your life that are wrong. And you're challenged and you feel condemned in your soul and you're trying to avoid admitting it. Stop. Test your ways. And return to the Lord. That's what needs to be done. Just as Cain had to embrace biblical worship. He had to worship in faith. According to the command of God. Looking to Christ. Devoting himself wholly to him. Then he would be accepted if he did well. If he did what was right, his worship would be accepted. So you must turn from sin.
You must realize that
it's not God who's the problem. It's not the creature that's the problem. Sin, your sin, is your problem. You've wronged you of yourself. You've wronged you of why Christ has come. You must seek from Scripture by the blessing of God aright you. You must accept what you know deep down is true. And that's why you're resisting it. And you must see why Christ has come and embrace God's Christ. Friend, let us reason together. Let us turn from sin and turn to the Lord. You see, you must pursue peace in God's terms. Look at Cain. His countenance fell. It is that shiftiness, that awkwardness, that feeling of shame and discomfort in the presence of God. What should he be experiencing? Joy and gladness, the thrill of being able to meet with God, being accepted by God, the thrill of God's provision for sinners in the gospel. Oh, dear believer, are you not thrilled tonight to think you can draw near to God, your worship can be accepted through Christ, that God is your God and God for you, and you have peace with God through Jesus Christ? There was a day when you didn't have such peace. A day perhaps when it was a false peace. And you kidded yourself that you had peace in your soul. You didn't really. Then you became troubled. But in seeing Christ, the trouble that sin caused gave way to peace with God. Is that not what Cain can have? If he will close with Christ upon the terms of the gospel, okay, turn. All guilty sinners saying, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. I can save myself and make up for any wrong. If you keep on going that way, you're going to harden yourself and end up in real danger of a lost eternity. Confess your folly, repent, and pursue peace on God's terms. That's the only response that I came or that you should meet. There's a call to repentance. Friend, that's how you should act. But you'll notice there's also, in the second place, a call to remission. A call to remission or forgiveness. You see, the penitent, those who repent, are promised remission. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? What can be told? Look, if you repent, if you do what is right, if you join with Abel in his attitude and worship, you will be accepted. You will know the smile of God and not the frown of God. You shall be accepted by him. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Friend, is that not the promise of the gospel? To the penitent sinner, there is forgiveness with God. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let you forsake your wicked way. Let you forsake that
resistance to the gospel, not the accuser of Christ. And turn unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon you. To our God, He will abundantly pardon. Has He not provided a real basis for forgiveness? A real basis in the death of Christ? There are some who will translate the word sin there in verse 7 as sin offering. If thou doest well, a sin offering lies at the door. That is, look, if you do what is right, there is a sin offering provided for you. Well, whether that be the right translation or not, the truth is, doing well will lead to acceptance. Closing with the gospel remedy for sin leads to remission. Friend, is that not the right response? God reasons with you. And He says, look, repent, and you shall be forgiven. There's a promise to you of forgiveness if you will listen and comply with His word. But you'll notice this. Only the penitent are promised remission. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? There's an if there. If, in other words, you must. It's only as you follow, just as Cain was to follow Abel, it's only as he follows in the footsteps of Abel, doing what is right, complying with biblical, Christ-centered worship, trusting in God's Saviour, that he will be forgiven. Friend, that's the same for you. Never in Scripture will you find any hint of God acting in any other way. If ye be willing and obedient, you'll be blessed, you shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Friend, there is no other way given amongst men whereby we must, you must be saved. This reaction of being irritated by the gospel will not do. It's dangerous. You forsake your own mercy. It will bring lasting guilt upon you. God will remain against you. Oh, how much sore of punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. What guilt ye shall have. If thou doest not well, sin. That word there, sin, includes the idea of guilt. Your guilt lies at the door. Your guilt is like a beast waiting to rise up and devour you. It will consume you. And in a lost eternity, you will experience the judgment of God and feel a dreadful guilt upon your soul that you will never be able to shake off. There will be no stealing of yourself then. You will be overwhelmed with a sense of horror at God's just punishment of you. You will know you are guilty. You shall be consumed by guilt and will experience God's curse. And oh, what a just punishment it shall be. What do you do by rejecting Christ? By saying, I don't need him. I don't want him. I'll try my own way. What are you doing? You're despising God's offer of mercy. Is that not dangerous?
We read in history of rebellious towns that have been surrounded by an enemy army. The ultimatum goes out, surrender. You're surrounded. If you don't surrender, put out the white flag and surrender, you will be bombarded, destroyed, razed to the ground. And we know, sadly, at times that has happened. An offer of mercy given. Your doomed enemy. But there's a way of escape. Friend, is that not what we have in the gospel? Here are God's sweet, tender offers of mercy to you. Stop the rebellion. Come and submit to me and embrace my Christ and walk in my ways, and I will be good to you and gracious to you. I will forgive your sin. I will give you eternal life. I will undo the damage that you and your sin have done to yourselves. And you're saying, no, I will not have such a thing. Oh, what punishment such gospel despisers will have. You despise your own mercy. Do not despise God's Son. What a precious salvation. What has God done in the gospel? To save sinners, he had to send his own Son into this world, the Son of his love. And he does not withhold him. He sends him into the world. He calls upon him the judgment that sin is due. And he suffers the condemnation of the cross for his people. God comes and says, look, there is mercy in Christ. You despise him. Such a precious, such a great way of salvation. Oh, what judgment will come upon you. Are you despising God himself? You're calling him a liar. You're saying the gospel is not true. Your threats are not true. I can do things my own way. You're rejecting his authority and his tenders of grace. Oh, the agony. To be plunged into the depths of hell. And to know that you have done such a thing, and there is no remedy, there is no hope. Friend, flee from the wrath to come. Embrace Christ the Redeemer. Stop saying, that gospel irritates me. It's designed for your good. And God in his mercy gives you a further opportunity to stop your rebellion, to stop your resistance. Beware, lest they cut you down and say enough is enough. Seek him while he is to be found. Cain, well, he goes on in anger. And he experiences God's curse, and yes, there seems to be some temporary relief given to him in that men are not allowed to kill him. But oh, what a fearful thing was to come upon him. And what unbearable torment you will experience if you go on with that gospel agenda. Friend, how merciful God is. He says, come and let us reason.
Perhaps you're here tonight. You're saying, yes, I realize I'm a gospel rejecter. And I've been rejecting him for so long. What hope can there be for me? Ah, well, friend, if you're concerned, there's every hope. Because you realize your need. And as you turn, you shall be accepted. The chiefest of sinners have known forgiveness with God. Jerusalem sinners that crucified Christ have known forgiveness with him. Oh, you may have rejected him for many, many years. Tonight, friend, stop and bow the knee, join evil, and offering up that sacrifice of Christ-centered worship to God, and you shall be accepted through Jesus Christ. There's a call here. A call to repentance and a call to the mission. Notice thirdly, there's a call to resistance. If thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be a desire, and thou shalt rule. What's God saying to Cain here? Look, you're a sinner. And you're denying the fact, and you're drifting far. Realize that sin is a powerful enemy. Don't embrace it. Sin. It means to miss the mark. Well, that's our tendency. We try our best, but we don't quite make it. And the sad thing is that if we're left to ourselves, that sin's liable to increase. And the missing of the mark is liable to increase. From being near the target, you end up with someone who never gets anywhere near it at all. You see, if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. Sin is like a wild beast, lurking and waiting to pounce. Like a lion, about to leap up and devour the prey that passes by, looking for openings to destroy. And unto thee shall be its desire. That's how it should be translated in verse 7. But unto thee shall be not his, but its desire. References to sin. Your sin. Why choose sin? By rejecting God's gospel. It will only enslave you and destroy you. It will desire to be over you. And of yourself you are weak. And you cannot resist that. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We all are by nature. And those passions are liable to flare up at any time. Here's a menacing, destructive influence and force in our life. He's saying, look, rule over it. That is, you need to watch and suppress it. But you can't do that left to yourself. It's a powerful enemy. And if you don't seek God's help, what will happen? Well, look at Cain. The sequel tells us what happens. Cain talks with Abel, his brother. They're out in the field. And Cain doesn't need an example. His anger boils over. And he rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. And you see in his family life, as is described later on in the chapter, there is
worldliness, there is sin, the Lamech, I think it is, who marries a couple of women and men and kills a man, wounding him to his heart. And he says, of Cain you'll be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Anyone touches me, the authority saying, it's a wicked man. That's what happens. Sin gets a hold of people. Unrestrained, it grows. Sin gets a hold in a society. Unrestrained, it grows. You see that in our society today. It is ruining it. It's lurking at the door. Cain, if you will not repent, then here is something that will enslave you and destroy you, and who knows where you're going to end up in life. Who would have thought? A son of Adam would have killed his brother, Abel. You need to resist. How can you resist? Well, it's only the penitent who can resist. He's told. Look, sin's a powerful enemy. It lies at the door. It's trying to get the rule over you. Rule over it. Resist it. Turn away from it. Subdue it. Ah, well, friend, you need grace. Isn't that promised in the gospel? God deals, you see, not only with the guilt of sin, but with the power of sin. God's people, what are they doing? They're fighting against sin. That's a lifelong battle. They'll never be done with it till they reach heaven. But they gladly engage in that battle because they hate sin. They know it destroys souls. They know it's dishonoring to God. And those who are penitent can resist the devil. And he shall flee from them. They're promised the whole armour of God to help them. They're given everything in the gospel to equip them. They're given an armour. They're given motives. They're given grace to resist. You see, we must resist it. But Cain, you keep on going the way you're going. You're plunging yourself further into sin. Oh, you say, I'm a good person. Friend, you're saying, I am good, I am not a sinner, I do not need Christ. You're calling God a liar. You're despising God's offers of mercy. Oh, great sin. And you may be a very self-righteous and a good living great sinner. It may not be that you do things which outwardly abhor people. You're not a murderer, an adulterer, the way some are. But there's a rottenness in your heart that will get worse and worse so long as you do not repent and embrace Christ. And if you will not resist it through repentance and clinging to Christ, you will be ensnared by it and devoured by it. Well, friends, come and let us reason together. That's what God said to you. That angry rejection of the gospel is dangerous. You know it's not the right reaction. Well, listen to God and his tender offers of mercy. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. O friend, repent of that rejection of Christ. Seek Christ and forgiveness in him.
If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. If you embrace Christ, and all your worship is centered in Christ, you shall be accepted. Friend, do that. Not to do is to court disaster. God forbid. That should be you tonight. Let us pray.